Welcome, Red Ice members. Thank you very much for tuning in. We are continuing our conversation with Sonia Barrett, author of The Holographic Canvas. And we were talking about the construct, I guess, of the reality matrix that we are kind of all we're all living in. And in this second part here, I'd love to dive into more of the, I guess, second level to all of this, namely the human-created control system that we're living in, and how this kind of connects with various tangents in regards to religion, but also New Age, and even we can dub, I guess, spiritual ecology. This is fascinating in many areas here that we can touch upon. But basically, I mean, Sonia, I'd like to ask you a little bit of what you see in regards to where the, I guess, where the government and where the control freaks or where the control system is taking us, and also, I guess, what you see the purpose for that, for what that is. I mean, we all are aware by this, those who are listening to these types of programs and whatnot, about the New World Order, about the agenda of global control of a one world government and so forth. Where do you see we're ending up here if this is something that is allowed to progress or continue?
Well, I you know, when I actually started to really take a look at what was going on, I mean, I think a lot of people are probably, not a lot, but those who are the people who listen to your show, if nothing else, can really recognize that the whole idea of this new New World Order is really all intertwined in the New Age movement. So New Order is a New Age. I mean, that's just a given. So what I saw when I really looked at this was I see the representation of this supposedly neutral image, which is, of course, Obama, the fact that he is biracial and it sort of seemed as if he carries the a little bit of everything for everybody. What did they call him? The first global president.
Right, right.
He represents, maybe not necessarily consciously, let me make that clear, but what he symbolizes the new age. Obviously, you have somebody of color that's never been in the office before. Mm-hmm. That's part of a new age, a new movement. And in order to assist in moving the masses into a certain way of thinking, you would have to have someone that appears neutral, somebody that has an appearance, you know, to that can relate to a mass amount of people. And this is global. This isn't just the United States. It's a global presence. So he represents transition on a couple of levels, I would say, on the level, as far as the governmental structure is concerned and all of that and the control and all of that. But it also represents an opportunity for us as individuals to think about owning ourselves and not, continuing to look to an individual or government to save us and to be our security. Mm. So there's a lot of things going on here. If we were to go back and start looking at some of the information with the New Age movement, it could be a little bit scary. I mean, you know, it really, really could when you look as to how far back this really started. Now, the whole concept of a new world order, that is not new.
No.
That is something that's been understood for a long time. However, the plans for however, you know, hundreds of years, however far back, thousands, whatever, this age, it was known of that this age would come. And that's why you have it tied into the whole concept, the whole idea of the Aquarian age, which I never really got into, but I know it's all part of that whole transition.
Sonia, sorry to interrupt, mm-hmm. that, but would you say that that's because this is a new age because this is connected with the Aquarian age. Is that the reason you think why they're spearheading this at this point in time?
That's all part of it. That's all part of it. What we want to look at is, yes, somehow all of it seems to lead up around the time 2012. What we want to look at is the fact that, as far as, the cycles are concerned, these are actual cycles I'm talking about. Again, this 104,000 year cycle and, you know, the whole process of it being broken down, we're dealing with a great cycle. So you've got this 104,000 year cycle that, which is what we're in the fourth part of a 104,000 year cycle, meaning that there were four 26,000 year cycles, whereabouts, somewhere in that number. So you've got four of these cycles that our system goes through. And so we're in this very last phase of that fourth cycle where everything cosmologically is changing, you know, as far as the planet, the movement of the planet, everything is occurring. That is a natural part of the process for any planet, any system to go through. They have tied in that change that they're talking about with this transition because, yes, it is a natural part of the process for life form in any system to go through various levels of evolution, various levels of stepping it up. So, yes, there's an opportunity there in this transition that's going on as the planet itself changes that, yes, the consciousness, because we're tied into the planet, and the planet is obviously tied into the sun and everything associated that we have no knowledge of and cannot see, it's all tied into that. So whatever those transitions are, we are experiencing. We're like the echo, the bottom of the echo of all of that that's going on. But it's all tied together. So the Aquarian age, all of those things are tied into a natural transition that's going on. In that, though, you have different occults, different religious beliefs, that a messiah or some sort of transition in that manner is going to take place. So this whole thing now ties into this changeover that's supposed to happen. Everybody is looking for some sort of messiah to come. I don't care what religious group you deal with. There's some being that is supposed to come to take over or to rescue. And some of these occults or some of these, what do you want to call it, groups, when we see mass amounts of people being wiped off the planet, got to understand that when we say, how could people do this? We have to understand that when it is someone's belief that this is supposed to be part of the process, that whatever the cleansing is, you know, the eugenics process, whatever that whole cleansing process is supposed to be, there isn't a sense of feeling bad for it. Just like you believe in whatever you believe in religiously, it's all part of a belief structure. So therefore, for those individuals, it makes it okay.
Yes.
So again, what we're dealing with is we're dealing with a much larger transition in place. And it's not that the players that you see before you are even aware to the extent that we would want to think that they're aware. It's not that they're necessarily aware of the level or the depth of this transition taking place. Now, we've got to remember that all of those that govern are all tied in together because, you know, you've got the governmental structure the government, and you've got the corporations, and then you've got the religious structure. And these three operate, spiritual beliefs, however you want to term it, they somehow find a way to be intermingled, probably not on the lowest level that you will see,
right,
but as the levels go up, you find that they are all tied together, and there's an orchestration. There's a group. It's always a very small, as it, you know, as they say, the road narrows, that is, working towards a particular outcome. And the process, what we see, what we're seeing is the process. We're seeing the process taking place. You had, who was it? George Bush, the father in office. Mm. And we thought it was a very, you know, intense time. And then we realized it really wasn't that intense because of what we are experiencing right now. That time was considered a little intense. And then we had, you know, Bill Clinton come in. And that, again, tapered people a little bit. We got, you know, more relaxed, more hypnotized. A lot of things happened, but we didn't see it. We couldn't see it happening because everybody was being sort of, you know, stroked and caressed. Yes. So yes. We didn't see any of that. And so, you know, everybody was happy. Well, what better time? But how can you, if you have to hammer something, you can't hammer quietly. So now you've done all the quiet stuff that you can do. Now you've got to hammer. You can't do it without people noticing. And that's what we've been experiencing for the last, 8 years, is the hammering process. Because you've got to hammer in order to prepare for whatever the next level is. So now we're going to see at some point a calmer, to some degree, phase from what we had experienced. At least we're going to think we're seeing a calmer phase, a much calmer phase. So it's going to be perception. It's going to be what the projection is. It's an opportunity for lots of technology to be stepped up in terms of, you know, what people's minds, or thought process, can be directed towards. So there's lots going on in that department in terms of what we're going to see. Yes. A lot of people are very happy right now. With that happiness, that makes it a lot easier to slip in a lot of different things with all of that, where you don't even realize how bad it is because, you know, you're being hypnotized once again.
Yes.
So we've got this, you know, these promises. And again, we have a Messiah for a lot of people, you know, in power now. It's, you know, I've seen the t-shirts and stuff with the Superman and the big O on the chest and all of those insane things going on. So people are going to be blindsided, but they won't even know it. That's the interesting part. They won't even know it. They're being ushered into a certain concept of reality, like the Pied Piper playing his pipe.
Yes.
And they're ushered in, so it's not like they're going to know. Who's going to know? Who will know about this are the people who have been scratching their heads and are willing to go ahead and take a chance and look and start to really open up that part of them to take a bigger look and see what's really going on before them.
Well, exactly.
That's what I see.
Yes, exactly, because also this I feel that this has been hijacked in that sense, because it's a superficial change as well. Because, as you say, if you scratch the surface here a little bit, we discovered that it's the same old world order, if you will, then that is behind the new world order in that sense. And the same people are behind Obama, for instance, that was behind Clinton and even George W. Bush to some extent. So it's very skillful how they managed to pull this off in one sense, because I also feel that the change is spawned from a well-meaning position, so to speak, if we talk about the people here, because they do want to have something different. They do want to have this change, you know. They aspire to this, and that's you know, a good thing in that sense. But they managed to steer this away, and now we're being, as you say, lulled into this next stage of this. And it's also interesting to hear that you mentioned that potentially technology and science is something that will advance during the next, you know, candidacy here or something like that. We could potentially see a lot of legislative processes being taken care of that wasn't, you know, that was in some form or another suppressed under George Bush. Mm-hmm. We'll see how this pans out. But I think that the whole area here as well also connects very much with the new, I guess, environmentalism and how this connects with the new age. And I guess that this is also something that you've been looking into. Correct, Sonia?
Yes. There's just so much to talk about. I mean, I'm not even scratching the surface on some of the things that I've seen and discovered. But as far as, you know, the environmental movement, you said something a few minutes ago, and it's like people want change. You said that people want change, and it's amazing how they find a way to ride on the bandwagon of that.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing here. You know, we dealt with the global warming thing, that's a whole other avenue, because it relates to this whole environmental situation. But, you know, let's step back a little bit. We had, what's his name? Mr. Global Warming.
Al Gore,
right. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, you know, here comes this film. And it didn't really come just suddenly out of nowhere. When we start tracing it back and see the implementation, the planning that had gone into structuring this whole new environmental movement, or as they refer to it as spiritual ecology, you know, you had minds meeting, you know, going as far back as this is with Stephen Rockefeller, I believe.
Right.
He set up, what is it, he was a primary organizer of an interfaith conference on spirit and nature. And then they formed Center for the Study of World Religion at Harvard University. Now, all of this, you had various representatives from various religious sects that got together, and so that they could plan what the best way was to insert this new environmental religion to the people. How could we do this? Well, then finally, here comes the film, Global Warming. There is nothing that has assisted in bringing this one world religion, as far as the environmental process, to the people like that film. That film certainly kicked it off. And then from there, here comes making more money somehow. Although, you know, you hear the companies going, yeah, we're going green. Everybody's going green. At first, I thought it was really nice. Then I started to look at everybody, including myself at one point, how easily we get ushered into the next thing. And suddenly, here's everybody on board with this thing. And it just didn't feel right to me. Something was just very off about it.
Yeah.
The whole control process, you've got all these corporations say they're going green, but somehow, which we can't go into all of that, obviously not enough time to do that, but somehow when you do your research, you see all the monies that are being made and all the various things that are really being inserted around it. And it was all based on playing on the minds of the people in a guilt manner, in the process, in the idea of the manner in which we are handling the planet. Not that we've been doing a good job,
That's
but
true.
The whole idea was to get people to feel guilty. And when they slip one thing in, they slip something else in. So here we are. Now we're on this thing. We got the change thing going. Everybody's all on board with that. And then we got the environmental thing going. And what was the other thing? There was something else. There was another thing I was going to tell you. There's a couple of things, about three things that they have going that everybody is seems to be jumping on the bandwagon for. And it'll come back to me. They'll come back to me later on. But yes, it's definitely a real scary process about how we jump on quite so easily.
Absolutely. And in many cases also we're being told that, again, I've mentioned this on the program before, of course, but this is the idea that it's the little guy that is taking the blow here, so to speak. We hear so rarely about how the military industry, you know, is contributing, if you will, to the, polluting of the world and so forth. And we hear very rarely about, you know, industry, large industry, military wars, things like this, of this nature. And we are being blamed for something now. We're going to make the changes. Although with that being said, I do see that something good actually can come out of this, even though we are being manipulated into this. Personally, I'm all for, you know, why not drive a freaking, you know, electric car or what have you, you know?
That's true. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's how they slide that stuff in, is because they give you some good stuff.
Sure.
And then they slip in the, you know, the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the we are one.
Yeah.
The we are one concept. They took the we are one concept, which in was obviously, yes, true. And ultimately, as we said earlier, you know, there is ultimately one source, one force, even though, yes, we are acting as individuals, the illusion of individualism. But at the same time, we are individuals because that's the only way, you know, we can have the diverse experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But they took that whole New Age thing and then started to create a group mind thinking. Now that is really interesting. They're moving people into a whole way of the group mind thinking, even in schools and children.
Yes.
You know what that does to you? It takes away your ability to really construct ideas as an individual without having to feel secure with matching whatever the collective thought process is. And that is what is going on. So what you end up having is a lot of, again, learned or programmed responses, just a lot of additional programming of how you're going to think and act. And everybody, you hear people running around, you know, groups, this, you know, we have to, you know, work together.
Mm.
So they've somehow, they're very clever as to how they're able to do that, take that and shift it, because people really want to work together, but they don't realize how that's also being used against them. And especially where our children are concerned, it's just very, very deep. It's very, very big. And there was another thing I wanted to say to you about that. I've talked about, you know, channeled information. I'm probably one of few people, I mean, from several years ago, started to talk about that. I was writing about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people probably weren't really happy with me with, you know, in talking about that. But I looked at the increase in channeled information, and I'm bringing it up because it all relates to every single thing that we're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
On the political level, and again, the powers that be that control that, what we can see right now with our physical eyes. We're not seeing the, you know, everything else that they're doing. But the whole process of channeling, again, it's that external thing again. It's you're not good enough. So you must receive this information from a third party.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting is it's the same third party concepts. You know, you have what Archangel Michael became very big at one point. Then you had Saint Germain that became he was very big for a while, and then it kind of tapered down. I think those are the two biggest ones that I think people end up saying that they channel.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have to look at is there's two things here. We've got the possibility of the interception of your mind in terms of, you know, what can be projected to you as channeled information. And at the same time, we do have forces, these beings that do exist, that can use this as an opportunity to insert. You'll get some great information. People get some information that's very on. And then there's something else being slipped in there as well, and that becomes the control process. And you know, there's so much more tied into this, and I'm being selective in terms of what words I use and exactly what I say.
Sure, sure.
But we want to look at the whole understanding of this Lord Maitreya and all the other messiahs, again, that I mentioned. People are looking for a messiah to come.
Yes.
Which is one of the more prominent ones is this Lord Maitreya that is supposed to come. And you've got a lot of Christians who have dug up some really great information on tying in the Nazi movement and Hitler's belief with the New Age movement in the fact that he was studying this information and how similar it is today. But yeah. What is interesting to me is that in the same breath, they then turn around and say, yeah, but it's, you know, that they're wrong because it's all about, you know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm scratching my head and I'm like, okay, but then you're sort of doing the same thing again.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Are you not questioning all of this? First of all, a lot of these other groups, you know, that I haven't mentioned any names on, they recognize the Christ as an office. So just as we have this whole governmental structure shifting over, people don't understand. There's a whole other governmental structure that is being shifted to, that's being moved into place.
Yes.
And believe it or not, it has everything to do with the whole concept of a Messiah and who these people expect to come and to take over, and these various levels by which all of this is being orchestrated. So this isn't fantasy. You might say you don't get involved, but I tell you, it is affecting, it affects everyone down to the economic situation right now. It is all tied in together in order to fulfill, as they say, some of these prophecies that much of these groups have held on to. And that's why the people dying in the wars and all of that, they look at that as a sign of their Messiah coming.
Well,
we have to really look at that.
Absolutely. I mean, again, just see what's happening right now in Palestine, and that plays right into that idea. And on one level, I think that a lot of, you know, Christians, they raise their eyebrows here and look at this, that, oh my God, we're, you know, a step closer now to the fulfillment of the prophecies, you know, that great war is supposed to take place almost in that sense in order to bring Jesus back to the earth and so forth. So there's a lot of stuff that is going on here. But I guess also what I would see is that the basic outline is that the new age is same as the old age, and it builds on the same,
yes.
You know, it builds on the same foundations. And again, mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter if I believe personally that we were handed this idea of a savior, you know. Yeah, what is it now, 1,700 years back or something like that, and now mm-hmm. we're being handed a new version of that, an updated version of that, and that might,
an updated version.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I say. I say, you know what, we're in the same matrix. Well, all they did was they slapped the fresh paint on, moved the furniture around a little bit, but you're still in the matrix.
Of course, yeah.
So it's really interesting, and I think, again, what I am promoting to people is to really begin to dig within themselves. We're not taught that. That's actually something that is not encouraged, just as entrepreneurship is not encouraged in schools. Mm-hmm. Anything that allows you to own yourself or to feel that you are capable,
right,
or to aspire beyond what the acceptable beliefs, the acceptabilities, is not encouraged. And so we have to begin to ask those questions and be willing to step up a little bit further in our perceptions and not lock ourselves into what we think reality could be and confine it within that box, because it's, yes, that confinement that creates the limitations, and that actually allows the control process and these people to come in and to do what it is that they're doing. But I think we have more power than we know, and that's what it is. They don't, you know, there's certain forces that don't want human beings to really recognize their innate of their abilities.
Absolutely, and that's why they want to, as you say, they want to keep us dependent on the big daddy government, and they want to and they will go to any means, you know, possible or necessary in order to attain that goal. And that's why we see also heightened, you know, problems in the world, basically, either if we talk about war or the phony idea of terrorism in that sense, and also the idea of even economic collapses back and forth. This is in very skillful ways being manifested behind the scenes, and the right strings are being pulled at the right time in order to make these, you know, things to fall into place. And again, all of this is the basic idea of keeping people in the fear-based mode, fear-based, you know, mindset that, okay, we cannot manage ourselves without some kind of overarching control system. And I see that this is only, you know, increasing all the time, basically. And what we're looking at now also as well, on top of this, is this kind of, I guess we can call it scientific dictatorship or technological dictatorship. The more, you know, we're getting more surveillance, more tracking, and all this stuff. And it feels to me that they're also on a rush in a way. Many people have said this before, but they're like, they really want to have this in place before, before I guess the opportunities. Yeah, well, exactly. That could be it, because if we're talking about an external, you know, manifestation that takes place, basically that it's something in the external world that in some way enables this to come about more easy or what have you. It could be the energies of the of where we're at, you know, in the universe or whatever. But it feels to be that they're very much in a rush. What do you think about that? Is that something that they, the control structure, are worried about in that sense?
I think that they definitely are in a rush, and they've been in a rush for quite some time to meet deadlines, you know, for certain things. And I think it probably does have to do with what they perceive as a specific wave of energy, or, you know, what frequency that, or bandwidth, however you want to put it, that they need to meet or ride on. So I think that that's definitely something to look at. I remember when that was really big, when they were talking about the photon belt coming in at a certain time, the photon belt.
Sure.
So we have to look at what these people, you know, what they do believe, what they're looking at, you know, scientifically. I mean, anyway, I could say more about that part of it too, but it really, really is interesting. And it just, even for example, I looked at how 1 minute, oh my gosh, we were talking about the gas prices. It was a common conversation with everybody as to how severe the gas prices were for a long time. I mean, I don't care what level or walk of life you were from. That was a common conversation. You could have that conversation. If you couldn't meet anybody else anywhere in anything else, you could talk about the gas prices.
Right.
And I looked at that. And then the gas prices were lowered, I mean, drastically. And in that drastic lowering, if you notice, it happened, boom, it was lowered before this whole thing started with how bad the economy was. That chant didn't begin yet, and that's what I call these things, or chants.
Mm-hmm.
But that chant had not begun as yet. The gas price was lowered all the way down first, and then what do you hear people talking about now? How bad the economy is.
Sure.
And you have to look at how easily our minds get shifted. We almost forgot about the gas prices now, because now we've been given a whole new chant, a whole new focus. And so while we're focusing on just how bad the economy is, my question is always, what is going on behind the scenes? Because you're so distracted with that because the media is throwing everything at you in every moment. You can't get on the internet. You can't turn on the television. I don't really watch, but you can't avoid any of it without hearing anything to support the severity of the economy. And so the fear, you know, people are lost in the fear of that right now. I did a little bit of investigating or research on some of these places that, you know, they threw in immediately and saying that, the Chicago Tribune filed bankruptcy. And, and what I noticed is how they would throw in that, the car, industry, they throw in like big things at you to make you go, whoa, it's gotta be really bad. Things are really going on.
Yeah.
But how do you know people? My question is, have you researched the backgrounds of these companies and what was really going on, all the things that were going? How do you know that this isn't just another part of, you know, the plan or the process? I mean, I could tell you some things on that, but you people really need to stop and really start researching and not just go, oh yeah, well, Chicago Tribune, they're, you know, going bankrupt and things are really bad. Stock markets, same thing with the stock market. People don't really research, and so it's very easy to throw things at the public, and we go ahead and we accept that as gospel, and we go on our way. Yes. And that's the hope, is that they'll buy it. You know?
Yeah.
They'll buy it. Just throw that at them, and then they'll focus on that for a while we're doing, you know, what we're doing over here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not really, you know, of interest, it seems like, to most people. They're already in a position where they want to be told what's going on, and they want to, you know, chew on that around the coffee table at work, or, you know, whatever it is. It's there's so many other factors involved why people are even initially like that, and that's why you realize that at a certain point that it's very easy to control, you know, populations and basically keep them busy with one or the other issue. Same thing again, returning to the whole Palestinian crisis that is going on right now again there. This came, you know, right after Christmas, you know, sometime just before New Year's, it bloomed up again, and on we go. And this is the, yeah, you know, the latest problem now that we, yeah, can focus on, and everyone's going to be absorbed by that. Obviously, there's horrendous stuff going on there, but my point is that this is also something that kind of is being thrown at us, I feel, on you know, certain times. It keeps coming back at a specific cycle. You know, now it's okay, we're back in the Middle East now again, and the trouble's there, and people are never kind of really given the time, I guess, or they are not themselves. Right. They're not themselves taking the time to step away and say, you know, yeah, screw this, I don't care what's going on there. You know, what's happening in my life? Can I change this in some way? Can I change my perception of this? What's going on? Mm-hmm. So it's very, very difficult. But what would you say, I mean, in regards to, I guess I can ask you, what do you know what it was that kind of helped you to get that perspective to begin with, or to get you into a more inquisitive mindset, I guess?
Again, I think that base question for me was, who are we worshiping?
Yeah.
I think the big question, you know, just coming into this life that sort of kicked everything off for me. And I went and searched spiritually. I had no idea I would, you know, get into politics and all of this information, but just a curiosity about my life and wanting to have more control over my life. I think you have to be able to ask those questions.
Yes.
Security, that's another thing. That's another big, distraction, because people like to feel secure, which is, you know, what you were just sort of mentioning. They want things handed to them, the information handed to them. And so they get us with, you know, with security, in the sense of, you know, people and their jobs and, you know, and all of that. You don't work for yourself, so you feel secure because you have a paycheck coming in. But I say to people, there is no such thing as security. You don't know when they're going to close the door or whatever the case may be. There, as long as anything is outside of you, you can't look at that as security, because you cannot, unless you are there 24/7 to see what's going on, you can't look at that as security.
Yeah.
So that in itself, to me, should make you as an individual say, let me stop and think about the course of my life right now. Am I happy? If I'm happy, let me examine everything here. Am I living a package? Am I living what they call, you know, the social package? I'm doing well. I make enough money. I you know, I drive a nice car. You know, are those enough for me? Because in the end, it really is about you. It's about your experiences too, because obviously you are here to have whatever the human experience is, you know, for you as an individual. But is there something more about me? Is something beyond what I see with my eyes, my physical body? You know, pay attention to the intuitions that you get. Pay attention to that little tugging. That's something that says to me that it's taking a stretch beyond the norm. You know, there's something, yeah. there's a part of me that feels like it's outside of what the norm is, and start wanting to maybe tap into that. And, you know, I say, you know, meditation, but again, meditation has been now also sort of, you know, hijacked in a way too,
sure,
because
sure.
that's sort of, you know, turned into something else. But there's a deep level of connection that you make that takes you outside of your life as a physical human being. That's that point where you come to that deep place that we talked about earlier, that zero point, the void, the nothingness from which all really does exist. So you want to be able to say to yourself, I really want to tap into whatever that core is. I want to tap into that. And it has nothing to do with your personality or your ego. All of those things are just part of the game of being a human being.
Yes.
And that's what you have to recognize, your body, your physical body, all of those things. They're you know, that's how the game has to be played, with those pieces. So you ask questions and research. Start researching for yourself. Look into science. Look into what's going on. Just open your eyes.
And I would like to add to that as well, that from what I've been able to see so far also, is that a lot of people that are in the alternative circle, so to speak, they also have a much similar thought pattern. Still, that's what I see. I mm-hmm. still see that there is a messiah complex within mm-hmm. this particular movement. And although, and again, just because you've taken yourself out of one box doesn't mean that you've jumped into another one, or a larger one, or whatever mm-hmm. you want to term it. That just because you're mm-hmm. into alternative information doesn't necessarily mean that you actually are, that your opinions are really your own, or even that your thoughts are really your own. So
right.
there's multiple levels of kind of, I guess, liberation here, and to really break mm-hmm. free of that idea that someone else is going to, you know, save me or save us or
right.
get us out of the troubled situation we're in. So
mm-hmm.
there's multiple levels to all of this. That's what I would like to
absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that, because absolutely, that's basically it. The people jump from one box, you know, to the next box. And it is, we have the savior complex.
Yes.
The savior complex is essential to the manner in which the game operates, because of the fact that you have to be dependent on an external source. This is what the game, as we've been living it, that's how it works. You must be dependent on something else. And that's why we become dependent on government and insurance and this and that and all of those things. It's because of that. And that's where the security lies, because you basically are programmed to believe that you are not worthy or capable. And if somebody else suggests some of these things to you, you go, oh, come on, you must be kidding. You must be crazy. Because we're not taught, you know, from childhood to be able to explore more of who we are. Instead, you're programmed as soon as you start school. Your parents start the programming first based
yeah.
on what they've got, and then, you know, you go to school, and then you get the programming, and so on and so forth, and then you go to the corporate world, and, you know, that's another set of programming.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. So I mean, it's all about getting back to the source of what you are yourself in that sense, and getting back to really, I guess, also rediscovering of, you know, who you are. Do you think that that's a part of also, I guess, a property of the time that we're in right now, that these questions also come to the surface at this particular time? Yeah, I mean, it's because it seems to be a massive information out there. We have the web. It's an incredible lot of, you know, mm-hmm. New research that is coming
right.
towards to light. And it feels to me that all this is also actually helping along in this process, meaning that the more actually we're being kind of flooded by it, on one level,
right.
we're also kind of being tired by it, which means that we step back even more from it. What does all this really, really mean? And
right.
yeah, you see what I mean? It's like this is a good opportunity, I guess, also in this particular time to be able to do something like this, to be able to really get the proper perspective on things, so to speak.
Absolutely. And that's the reason why I said that change. When I mentioned Obama, I was saying that there's two doors, and that was one of the doors. It's that it's an opportunity for you to step up. It's an opportunity for you to begin to want to explore who you are. So this change, the whole idea of change right now that's being chanted, yes, there's a couple of doors, a couple of ways you can go. And you can continue down the same path because it's going to look good and it's going to feel good, or you can decide that you want to really kind of move into ownership of yourself. And so I absolutely agree with that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yes. I hope that people really are encouraged to step up. And sometimes change can be very painful because the yes. more you know is the more it changes the manner in which you probably operated yesterday or the things that you would do. It completely changes that, and you end up having to be responsible for yourself. And a lot of people are not ready to take that kind of responsibility. That's why it's easier to have a savior, because there's somebody else that is going to fix things for you or to save you. But to take that kind of responsibility for oneself, a lot of people are afraid of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it feels to me a little bit similar to the idea that, you know, if we talk about, you know, the way the government are handling things right now, you know, that they are in the position that I mentioned before of playing Messiah right now in that sense. Where do you think that we might be going if the full, you know, technological onslaught comes into play? Do you think that we'll be pinned down, or will it still be possible for us to kind of move out of that? If we put it into the context of the Matrix, there we can see, you know, people living in the movie The Matrix, people living in right. a computer generated world, even for, you know, I don't know, several hundred years, but there's still the essence of the human being that still managed to kind of pierce through the illusion and actually break free of it. What do you think?
Yes, again, you know, it's going to be up to the individual, because that world is going to exist, no doubt. That world is definitely going to be there for, you know, for people who are not ready to step up to the plate because of the manner in which technology will function. First of all, conveniences, mm-hmm. conveniences. Right. That's the way that they get us. And when you have robots that are, you know, have been designed to babysit and to do those things, which they've been using them in Japan anyway for seniors, they've been experimenting with them. And you have, you know, robots that are going to be, you know, with skin, the texture anyway, the material used, very human-like. I mean, if we're looking at a potential, a world that is on its way. It's not science fiction anymore. It's on its way.
Yes.
So there are always going to be some who are going to see it as a convenience and go with that. And then there are those who will step up and move beyond that whole Matrix concept. There's something we didn't really touch on, but as far as immortality, which you were mentioning, living for years, that's also part of what is being researched and has been for a long, long time. It's always been a curiosity as to the extent, of course, life extension.
Yes.
And there is a natural process by which, you know, human beings can live for a very, very long time, for hundreds of years and longer. But it has to do with one coming into a certain understanding and releasing those programs, because those programs tie you into the concept of time, the way time is measured here. And that's a whole other show. But the way time is measured, we're tied into that. So you're always going to have two different worlds in operation, and some of us will be in it, but not, you know, as they say, not of it.
Right.
Because it's layered, you know, just because, you know, Egypt is on a whole other side of the planet, supposedly. So I'm told. You know, see, that's the trick. So I'm told. Yeah. Until I go there, is it really there?
Right,
yet
right.
Everything exists here right now. There's only right this moment as far as what we're science is observing, even with particles, the manner in which particles operate, you know, what do they call them? Sort of, I can't think of the word right now, but, you know, seeing one particle in one spot and then seeing it in another spot, but recognizing that it really is the same, particle, but it's doing this, I can't think of the word right now, but anyway, it's the same process.
I think they term it the spooky effect or something like that.
Something like that. But there's another word. I almost want to say shadow effect, but that's not shadow effect. There's another word, but I just can't think of it right now.
Yeah.
But everything is operating, based on that. Everything just looks like it's over there and over there, but it's really all here and now.
Yes, absolutely. So there's multiple levels to all of this, as we said, and it's all about really going back and zooming out and getting the proper perspective on you know, our own individual lives and where we want to be at this, you know, particular time, what we want to do, and really begin to explore our own possibilities of what is possible in this world. And I think that, this is a good time zone to begin here to round things up for this time. And I've really, really, really enjoyed it. I think it was a great program. We got a whole lot in there. And I think that people definitely need to get a copy of your latest book called The Holographic Canvas. But why don't you again tell people how they can get a copy if they're interested?
Yes, you can get a copy by going to www.spiritinform.com. And to my radio show website, you can also get a copy there as well, www.sovereignmindradio.com. And I can be reached at either one of those. My email address is there. So I'd love to hear from you. And I don't know when the program will air, but anybody in the Los Angeles area on January 17th, I will be doing a lecture there. It's all day. And it's covering all of these things, ascension of the soul and immortality and a whole list of topics.
Okay, interesting. The 17th, the program will be up on the 15th, just 2 days from the time we're recording this, so people will hear that. Where can they get tickets for that, by the way?
Well, it's in Los Angeles, and they can also go to the same website, www.spiritinform.com, and I'll be speaking at the Conspiracy Con Expo in the Bay Area June 6th and 7th.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I might be actually going there. We might see you there possibly. We'll see what happens there. We haven't decided yet, but hopefully we'll manage to get down there if everything is still in place, as it were, because a lot of stuff can happen now. You know, they are talking about, the inner crowd, as it were, are talking about challenges here and there for Obama. People are talking about a new, you know, scenario that came for George Bush and so forth. But hopefully things will, you know, not go in that direction, at least, you know. We'll see what happens there. But
lots going on.
Oh, definitely, definitely. But okay, thank you very much again, Sonia. The websites, of course, are sovereignmindradio.com or spiritinform.com. So do take a look at that. Keep us posted in what's going on. We'd love to have you back, Sonia. There's so much more to cover and to talk about, and keep up the great work, okay?
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. That concludes our program with Sonia Barrett. Thank you very much for listening, and my thanks to Fredrik Palmgren. We'll be back on Sunday with an interesting program on the Order of the Illuminati with Terry Melanson from Conspiracy Archive. Do not miss it. Talk to you then. Take good care.